This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, thanks again to Jesse Agler who joined us. Jesse's smart. I didn't get to ask him about what I thought was one of the interesting baseball stories of the day yesterday. And Woods, I'm sure you caught this as well. Did you see Jose Altuve and his reason for not wanting to bat leadoff anymore?
No.
You didn't see this?
No.
Paulie, did you see this one?
I did not.
Okay. So they moved him down from first to second in the order. Actually, he hit a home run, had the go-ahead home run for the Astros yesterday. But he actually requested, and, you know, I can imagine the fans might be going crazy that a player would say, I don't want to bat leadoff anymore. And the reason he gave, valid, but not one I had ever considered. He said, since moving to left field, when they bat in the bottom of the first inning, he feels like he's too far away, and he has to run all the way to the first base dugout and then turn right around and bat, and he feels like he's not ready to hit yet because it's just too far from the dugout to then get ready and all of his, you know, his bat and his pine tar and everything, and he feels rushed. So he asked if he could be moved down to the number two spot. So he just had a minute more of preparation.
To catch his breath
before he batted in the bottom of the first inning. And they said, okay. And he had big home run yesterday. Is that a valid reason to be requesting a different spot in the lineup? Maybe the most valid reason.
It potentially is the most. It's a better reason in my mind as a fan than I don't get my numbers there. Honestly, like, we've heard that bit before.
I mean, it's a reason why he thinks he's not getting his numbers there. Like, he's not giving you the best at bat
to lead off the game.
Because
I guess it's a roundabout way.
I disagree completely.
Do you?
You're alluding to Juan Soto. I didn't have a problem with when Juan Soto said that, because if it's true that Juan Soto has better production in the two hole than the three hole or whatever it was, I want him wherever he's going to get the most production.
I was alluding more to Xander Bogaerts, who also said the same thing.
Yeah, fair enough. Jose Altuve, I think...
Also, Xander got his bag, Soto hadn't.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
So, that, you know, when you're playing for a bag, hey, man.
With Altuve...
Wherever you're going to be most comfortable.
If I'm the manager, I'm like, buddy, we need you on the leadoff spot. That's where you're best for this team.
But he doesn't...
Slow it down a little bit.
Just walk it in?
Yeah, just light, nice light jog.
But see, he's got to be ready. Everything's on the clock now. So I kind of get it.
And he talked to the media. He had a couple of reasons. He says, I really just need like 10 more seconds. But he said, I just told Joe Espada that maybe he can hit me second some games at some point, and he did it today. I just need like that extra time to come in from left field.
Get your head right.
And he said he decided to put Jeremy there, and he said he thought Jeremy is one of those guys who's been really good for our team, and, you know, he's fast, and put him in the leadoff spot a little bit. But ultimately, Altuve said, hey,
that's funny.
I love playing baseball. I like being in the lineup in the end. It doesn't really matter if I play second or left, if I lead off or not. I just want to be in the lineup and help the team to win. And I guess he felt like he helped the team win a little bit more at the second spot than in the first spot.
Also, he wanted that extra break. Now, I'll be honest. anytime we have a game, I'm the first one at the field. You know why I'm at the first one at the field? So that I can get the best dugout. And the dugout most of the time is closest to first base where I will play.
It's not already pre-assigned for like the home or road team or...
It is, but it isn't. It's
they're
one
not going to move you.
They're not going to move you. It's kind of like
you show up to a high school, you can tell which one has the home dugout because they got the nicer bullpens and stuff like that. But if it's like pointed in the sun at 9 a.m,
correct?
We'll
take the other side. But I always try to get the one by first base because I don't like running all the way across the field
after you make an out.
Well, I don't like running out to my position.
Oh, because you're the first baseman.
Yeah, so I like to just step out, get five steps, and then I'm...
That's why I always have to run all
that's
the way.
That's why you always have to run across the field to third. That's exactly right. I'm no dummy.
And then if anyone wondered, in Major League Baseball, generally the reason why some teams are at first base at home and others are at third base simply is the configuration of the stadium and the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Where they have the bigger, nicer clubhouse fit better on one side or the other.
Yeah.
So that's why certain teams are on the third base side and other teams are on the first base side.
Dominic asked the same question I had. Does Altuve still bat leadoff on the road?
I don't know. This was the first time they moved him down. There's no reason he shouldn't bat leadoff on the road because you've got all the time you want when you're the first team to bat.
Yeah.
And then you have no idea if you're going to lead off an inning the rest of the game.
Correct.
So you could be leading off in the second spot every other time you come to the bat.
That's interesting.
So it really only matters for that first at-bat only in home games. But they did it yesterday, and they did win the game over the Detroit Tigers.
Now, we had some really bad audio with Jesse Agler. His phone was cutting out. We just wanted to get a connection, Paulie. But as you told Ben and
to
vamp.
What's going on, yeah.
Ben and I were vamping, and you know, I said, hello, how are you? He said, I'm good, how are you?
Heard something about Vaseline.
I said, your lips look worse today than they did yesterday. Are you okay?
And they feel better.
And you said, yes. Then I said, well, what did you put something on them? And you said, yeah, I put a little chapstick on there. And I said, do you have Vaseline in the home? And you ignored that question for some reason.
We have Aquaphor.
My guess is you have Vaseline somewhere.
Aquaphor.
Also Vaseline is my guess.
Is it the same stuff?
Pretty much.
Similar.
Yeah. And then Ben said something that I could not in good conscience let go by. Tell our listening audience once again, and
Paulie. I really had no medical reason for this, but I had poured myself a small glass of milk. And I took a sip, and then it just felt very soothing on my lips, so I just kind of let it soak in the milk for a little while. I thought, no, that's probably got some good proteins and things that could be, you know, they put milk sometimes in lotions.
They do.
And I thought, oh, that's probably not a bad thing, just to let it soak there for a little bit.
So you took your glass of milk.
And I just kind of.
And you put your lip.
Yeah.
And you
held it there for a little while.
You're just like this.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Just like let
mouth
the,
into a cup.
Yeah, exactly. For a little while, like a minute or two.
Just resting in milk.
Milk.
Just because it's really only the bottom lip that's chapped.
Yeah, the bottom
lip's fine. The top lip's fine, but the bottom lip is the chapped one.
Huh?
Does that not make any sense for?
It's like I'm looking at an alien. is what it looks like. Next time you do a milk soak, will you text us a picture of it? Because I want to see it. Of him just.
I'm thinking back to that guy's behind the scenes video that went viral a few weeks back.
Yeah, the routine.
And just bends like. reading his journal.
He gets his push-ups in.
Doing
his
push-ups. And then he's just sitting there with his face in a bunch of milk like a cat.
Just. It shows like the time lapse. It's like 3 minutes of him just. Then he sits up and jumps in the shower and he's off to work.
Good to go.
Now, did you feel that the milk helped, or could it have been any liquid except for maybe orange juice? You put it, you're like you break the glass in your hand. The acid burns you.
Well, I've heard the very the very counterintuitive phrase. Water is actually very drying.
Yes.
To your skin.
Correct.
So I didn't want it to be water.
Right.
But I felt like milk was better in terms of had some more proteins and...
Really, the proteins is what got you.
The proteins, yeah.
What about just straight honey? Just
honey.
Slather it in honey.
It's
in
more
a
for
bowl.
Your throat,
in a
I guess
bowl
it could work.
Of honey.
Could work. I had some hot tea as well. I don't know if that had anything to do with my lips, but...
Man, you are... I can't get it out of my head. Ooh, condensed milk would have been good. It's very thick
stick right
and
there,
sweet.
And some Thai tea while I'm
some
at it.
Some powdered milk. It was just like you have a drug problem.
Powder? Because of the proteins that are still in there. Tres leches slips, yes. Horchata, perhaps, the next time. You are unbelievable.
I will admit that there was no...
No one was home. No medical, right? Nobody saw this,
no,
right?
There was okay. No medical reason for it. Just kind of...
Just felt good.
Just imagine like had kids walking in the door and just your face in a bowl of milk.
Hey, man. Hey, Dad. Hey, just stoking my lip. You're unbelievable. You really are, man. You are really, really something else, buddy. I can't. The mental image is going to be in my head the rest of the day.
It's soothing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. I get it.
It's rather pleasing.
All right. Whatever works for you, pal.
It did. Other baseball news and notes. The Dodgers did place Tyler Glasnow on the injured list.
Wow.
I believe I read he is their 8th starting pitcher on the IL and 13th pitcher overall.
I mean, now, I don't take any joy in people getting hurt, Ben, but the list is pretty.
Do you have the
staggering.
List?
Staggering, I do.
Some
I might
came,
have retweeted
like,
it.
Guys like Clayton Kershaw were already hurt to start the season.
Well, here's...
They haven't lost 13 pitchers, but they do have quite the extensive list of injuries so far.
Yeah, here we go. I had it, and I don't anymore. It's lengthy. I don't know what I did with it, but there's a ton. There's an absolute ton of injuries with that team. And Tyler Glasnow, I know that he was talking yesterday. He was really frustrated, and I don't know, man. Look, I said it last year. I would say it to the national pundits when we would have them on, when we would have Jeff Passan on, or when we would have Eno, in fact. Like, what is it? Is it systemic? Because it certainly feels systemic. And I don't know if you're a Dodger fan, how you don't look at this and go, yeah, it's absolutely systemic in this organization. You have the list?
I got the list.
All right, lay it on me.
Well, they put Ohtani on there because he's not pitching.
Right, not currently pitching because of injury.
Right, before. So Ohtani, Snell, Glasnow, Kershaw, Gonsolin, Gavin Stone, Emmett Sheehan, River Ryan, Blake Treinen, Michael Kopech, Brewster Graterol, Kyle Hurt.
That's ironic.
Michael Grove and Edgardo Henriquez.
Oh, he's that dude that throws gas. They all throw gas. Every one of those guys is pretty nasty. You need to find a guy named Bill Healthy and get him in the rotation.
Get that Kyle Hurt out.
Kyle Hurt out, Bill Healthy in.
We have Kyle Hart.
They have Kyle Hurt. Yeah, how do you not look at this and go, this is 100% systemic within this organization? And again, here they sit in first place, found a way to win last night.
19-10 tied with the Giants. So, I mean, if that's the worst the Dodgers are going to be, then
that's
we were all right about
good.
The Dodgers
yeah,
at the start of the year.
That's exactly right.
They're going to be incredibly good and probably win 110 games at the end of the season.
Right.
Because they're already winning 2 out of every 3 games, and they're doing it without a good chunk of their available pitching rotation.
They haven't played the toughest schedule yet. I did see somebody put out yesterday teams that have played games against teams that are under 500.
I saw that too.
The Chicago Cubs have not played one team under 500.
Their 17-12 record is incredibly impressive when you consider they have played all their games against the Padres, all their games against the Dodgers, all their games against the Diamondbacks for the season. They're already done with 3 of the tougher teams in the National League. So they've got all their games left against the bottom dwellers in every division.
The Mets have played the easiest schedule so far.
They're taking
20.
Advantage.
Yep, taking advantage. Again, you got to get the job done. The Guardians and the Twins behind that. The Red Sox and the Reds behind that. You get down to 13 games played against teams currently below 500. The Dodgers have played 13 games of teams below 500. The Padres have played 7. So Padres and Giants neck and neck. Now they'll be playing each other tonight.
Neither will add to the total of 7 tonight. Now, early in the season, you also create some of that by beating teams and forcing them under 500.
Correct.
So the fact that the Cubs are 17-12 and all the teams that they have played still have managed in the games because they've lost. Those teams have lost 17 games against the Cubs, and yet they're all above 500. That means they're even better than you kind of think they are, because that includes all those losses against the Cubs. And the Padres have played a lot of games against winning teams. They'll do 2 more this week, but they played the Cubs, obviously, who are tough. And in the American League, the Astros have a winning record. The Tigers have a winning record. The Guardians now have a winning record. And the Padres have had series against all of those teams already this season.
Yeah, man. It's tonight. Tonight's big. You know, obviously division rival. You want to win these games. Just a quick two-game set. You got Pivetta tonight, King tomorrow. And again, there's some winnable games here, but just want to see the boys get back to having some fun playing baseball. Look a little tight the last three against Tampa Bay. Yeah, just need a win for the Friar faithful tonight at Petco.
All right, still have the NBA playoffs. Four games tonight. We can talk some hoops coming up, and Paulie's got his Rindle report. Did you not watch any hoops last night? Not even a little with the no baseball?
We had the live stream till 8.
The first game was terrible.
And then I went to bed.
I just saw some highlights from the Rockets-Warriors game. Bro.
That was decent.
90s basketball is back.
It's back.
Every game I see, every highlight I see, guys are throwing each other to the floor. They're kicking each other. Draymond Green was
saving it for the
Jimmy
playoffs,
Butler,
right?
And Dylan Brooks were going at it yesterday.
There's certainly a debate to be had about the officiating in the playoffs this year. Well, we can get to it because I do want to bring it up. We'll get to that coming up in just a second. First, I want to tell you about SDFatLoss.com. Still here the month of April, last couple of days. I know they've got their spring special going. If you've been thinking about it, you've been afraid to pull the trigger, make the change, just do it now because by the time 2 months are done, by the end of June, before July gets here, before it's really summer in San Diego, you can be 10 to 20% lighter, lose up to a pound of fat per day. And I did it, so I know how it works. I lost 40 pounds in 60 days. My colleagues, Chris, Scraby, John down the hall at KSON, have all lost really over 100 pounds combined with the four of us, closing in on 200 pounds. Tier ones have lost so much weight. All you have to do is follow your counselor's, basically the plan they lay out for you. It's doctor-developed, easy to follow, and you lose weight naturally and safely with no drugs or injections, and you have to buy no prepackaged meals or bars. You simply eat normal food from the grocery store like chicken and steak, and you reset your metabolism so you lose that weight quickly and then keep it off for good. I've kept it off closing in on a couple of years now, thanks to their support staff, the maintenance plan that they've got that's part of it. It's not extra. It's part of the program at SDFatLoss.com. So go to the website, schedule your free consultation, sign up today, and be a new you by the time summer really hits in San Diego at SDFatLoss.com. Results may vary.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
San Diego, as we know, not exactly Title Town USA.
What makes you say that?
Well, that would be
the lack of titles.
The lack of titles. And that extends to the college level as well, where San Diego colleges have only won one Division I national championship in a team sport in either SDSU, USD, and now UCSD is Division I as well, school history. Any idea what sport it came in, Woods? Test your San Diego sports history knowledge here.
Water polo.
That's a good guess. No, men's volleyball, 1972, San Diego State. They don't even have men's volleyball at San Diego State anymore.
I remember that team. They were, they were electric.
It's the only team title that, now, of course, the basketball team came one win away from a championship a couple of years ago. Fell a little bit short. But I do want to wish luck to a couple of teams that at least have a shot at adding to the one overall title. The SDSU men's golf team won the Mountain West Championship this last week, so they are automatically in to the NCAA regionals. They will announce tomorrow their site where they're hosting, and if they advance from there, they'll come to La Costa for the championships in a couple of weeks.
Will you be there?
I went last year to check it out. It was a lot of fun. And if San Diego State is playing, you know, another reason to go out to La Costa if they can advance. And then the other team that has a good shot, the USD men's tennis team, was ranked sixth. They got the sixth seed in the NCAA tournament yesterday. They had their selection show. They'll actually host the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament. They start with UC Irvine and then possibly USC in the second round. So they're got to be considered a championship contender based on, you know, high seeding, at least, you know, one of the top six teams in the country, according to the NCAA. So I wanted to wish both of those schools and teams some luck going forward as we try to add to our minimal hall of championships here in San Diego.
I get it. I'd like to think, you know, you think about the Red Sox, what they did when they finally ripped that Band-Aid off, how they got, you know, three more or two more after that. That's what you hope for. You hope that it opens the dam at that point and you get a few more, and then they become old hat, you know. And you think about Boston for many, many years. They always had the Celtics, right? The Celtics were the one, and the Bruins were really good team. But, man, all they wanted was their Patriots, and all they wanted was their Red Sox. And who won? Patriots won first. And then didn't stop winning.
Won a couple, yeah.
And then the Red Sox got theirs, and then they won a couple of more. And now the people in Boston are like turning over the tables because, well, it's been so long since the Patriots and Red Sox have won one. I'd love to get to the point in San Diego where it's been so long.
It's been like 8 years?
Since they've won a championship. You know,
well, the Celtics just won one.
It's true. The Celtics won one, but Patriots and Red Sox have fallen off a little bit in recent years.
I don't feel bad for them.
You want to be spoiled. You want to be spoiled by regular titles.
Yeah, you want the people, other people around the country going, oh my God, the friggin' Padres again. They're about to win another one. That's what you want.
Well, it's tough to do when you only have one major sport.
Yeah.
So you get one shot every year, and if you don't get that one, you know, it's nice in Boston, you got four chances every year.
Bruins won in 2011, Spencer says. Celtics won one recently, last year. But the Patriots, it's been a minute for them, and they're rebuilding. And then the Red Sox, we had a bunch of last-place finishes for them. And, you know, they're a sexy pick this year, certainly. But
Red Sox last won in 18?
18, I think, yeah. 7 long years for those Beantown folk.
See, that would feel like nothing.
You realize there are kindergartners in Boston that have never seen their team win a World Series.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Unbelievable,
unreal. I just was going to say something, and I forgot. That happened.
That's right. You get, I think, 14 teams left that are still competing for an NBA championship. Two have now been eliminated after the Miami Heat went down in absolutely just ugly fashion in front of their own fans last night.
I did see the score, I think, before we started our live stream, and they were down 30 or something.
It was 43-17 after the first quarter, Cavs.
Oh my God.
And then they expanded that lead by 13 more at halftime to be up almost 50. And then they just kind of cruised to the 138-83 win by 55 points.
Oh.
And that was, in front of Miami's own fans.
Oh.
They lost by 37-55 in their two home games. And their 120-point margin of loss in the series is the worst ever in an NBA playoff series. Now,
like, that's
are
it
you happy
for them,
that you
right?
got in? Yeah, they're swept. Four games to none. Now, they snuck in as a 10 seed by winning two road games in the play-in tournament, which was great. But their prize was to get obliterated by the Cavs in the first round of the playoffs. And then, of course, the Thunder have also advanced in the playoffs But last night, the Warriors did move to 3-1 ahead of the Rockets with a 109-106 home win. Big performance by Jimmy Butler, who, of course, took that big fall in Game 2 and missed Game 3 with the tailbone bruise, but came back, looked a little off in the first three quarters, and then scored 14 in the fourth quarter to lead the Warriors to a big win, 109-106, as they now are one win away from the second round. Now, everyone thought it would be Warriors-Lakers if they advanced, but obviously the Lakers have a lot of work to do.
Is that game tonight?
Tomorrow? No, that's tomorrow. Tonight there are four games on the schedule, but none involving the Lakers. We've got...
You got three games that are 3-1 leads.
And Milwaukee, they'll probably all wrap up tonight. Indy can wrap it up at home. The Knicks can wrap it up at home over the Pistons. Boston can wrap it up at home over Orlando.
But if you're going to watch any game tonight, Woods, yeah. And I would actually recommend just catch a couple of minutes. You won't stay awake for the end, which is the best part. Clippers and Nuggets has been an amazing series.
That's what I keep hearing.
There was one blowout. Game 3, the Clippers won 117-83.
Who's leading?
It's tied 2-2.
Yeah.
Other than that, the other three games were 112-110. 105-102 and 101-99. Like, they have been down to the wire.
And if the Padres game is good and you're staying up until the ninth inning, probably you'll be able to switch right over to the fourth quarter of the Clippers Nuggets games, which starts at 7 o'clock tonight. So you might be able to catch.
I just really like hearing you guys recap it for me in the morning. But if we win, I'll be in a better mood and might flip over to
That's
some
possible.
Basketball.
Yeah. So there's your quick NBA update. Paulie's got a bunch of other headlines in our Rondo report.
It's not going to be in the Rondo report, so while we're just... Dame Lillard did tear his Achilles.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That was the news from
and
yesterday.
Not only out for the season, but it's one of those that by the time he has the surgery, goes through the entire rehab, it's not even certain he'll be able to play at all next season.
He may be done.
Which is that's a really tough blow for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah, that was sad. All right, Paulie was with the Rondo Report. Get to our final segment of Ben and Woods coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Paulie just reminded me we still have those boxing tickets to give away, so why don't we do it right now? Two tickets, Top Rank Boxing presents Navarrete versus Suarez at Pechanga Arena coming up on May 10th. Get you in there for some three-time division champ Emmanuel Vaquero Navarrete defending his world title against unbeaten Filipino warrior Charlie Suarez. Call now 833-288-0973. Paulie's got a Rondo report coming up, so we'll make it the second caller real fast. 833-288-0973. Two tickets to the fights on Saturday, May 10th at Pechanga Arena. Also, co-main event, Southern California's own Raymond Muratala battling Zaur Abdulev for the interim lightweight crown. So, got some boxing tickets to give away. Tickets are on sale now at AXS.com. Also, want to remind you that coming up this Friday, our manager's report with Mike Schilt takes place this hour, 9 a.m. hour on Ben and Woods. Manager's report is refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. While Paulie answers the phones before the Rondo report, a little other baseball action yesterday. Brandon Nimmo.
Wow.
Drove in 9 runs.
That's a good day.
For the New York Mets. Hit a couple of home runs in a 19-5 win over the Nationals. Yeah, that's a pretty good day. It's almost twice as many RBI as Xander Bogaerts has all season.
Correct. That's a hell
one
of
day.
A day. Yeah, Twins absolutely demolished the Guardians 11-1. Orioles over the Yankees, Benny. Nick Martinez, 1 run, 5 hits over 6. And the Reds, don't look now. But my sneaky little Reds are making...
Padres can kind of see them in the rearview mirror for the wild card race. It's a little early to talk about the wild card.
It's a little early. It's April.
But hey, you want to stay ahead as many teams as possible. And the Reds, who I think were one of your sneaky picks to watch this year,
yep.
Have gotten off to a decent start. How about the Athletics? They've climbed above 500
yep.
After they beat the Rangers yesterday 2-1. You know, we thought maybe Mark Kotze's team had some potential, and then... Guys like Soderstrom getting off to a good start, and they have played well, even though they have, of course, the lowest average attendance in all of Major League Baseball at about 9,000 people per game up there in Sacramento. They are winning some.
Their pitching is what's carrying them. I mean, they're dead last in runs scored. They're 29th in OBP and 23rd in slugging. And the fact that they have a winning record is pretty incredible at this point. Astros over the Tigers. Braves handled the Rockies. The Rockies are in the chamber. I believe they're on pace for 24 wins this year. 24. Could be the worst team of all
time. They already have 24 losses.
Correct.
So. they may have already guaranteed themselves an under 500 record.
It is the worst start for any team in National League history at 4-24. My heart goes out to them. It really does. What is your reasoning for going to the ballpark right now if you're in Colorado? I mean, probably a cheap ticket, probably a nice fun time out with your small kids. They can run around the ballpark, get some good food, and watch some baseball. I mean, but it is really, really tough. And then, of course, we mentioned earlier, Dodgers did have to come back and go to extra innings to beat the Miami Marlins. Dane Myers hit a pinch hit grand slam off of Anthony Banda. And yeah, they were rolling until that happened. And Tommy Edman came through again, walk off 2-run single to salvage the Dodgers.
Biggest payroll discrepancy in baseball history in this series.
Yep. 400
and
million.
It came down to the 10th inning.
Yeah. Baseball's weird.
It's baseball.
Yep.
All right. Paulie, we got a winner?
We do. Zach.
Zach, congratulations. The boxing tickets are yours. And Paulie's got the rest of the Rondo Report headlines right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rondo Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rondo Report. With Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, Beyonce?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for letting me be a special guest here on your show. Very much appreciate it.
Fine. No longer special. You're just a guest.
Just a guest. Even better. All right. We were just talking a little hoops in our last segment. I did see a headline yesterday that Shaquille O'Neal has reportedly agreed to become the general manager for Sacramento State. Yeah, that bit. It's continuing. So we've seen this now a few different times. Recently, Steph Curry was named an assistant GM at his alma mater, Davidson. Trae Young from the Hawks, he's got the same assistant GM role at Oklahoma, where he played. And then Andrew Luck, who retired from the NFL a while back now, he's the GM, not the assistant, but he's the GM for Stanford football.
Yep.
So Shaq is joining up with Mike Bibby, who's now the coach at Sacramento State, and he's going to be the assistant GM. His son, Shakir, has just transferred over to Sacramento State.
Because I remember Shaq dominating for LSU back in the day.
Right.
Back in the day. And LSU's got to be going, oh, all right. But they probably got enough.
Now, it's an unpaid voluntary role
right.
for Shaq.
He actually has to pay in.
This is like a title.
To do
yeah, he's
it.
Probably
right.
going to have to donate a ton of money.
Sacramento State? That's genius, Spencer.
Sacramento State.
Brilliant. So his kid plays there.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It makes sense. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people around basketball talking about, hey, Sacramento State could be this up-and-coming program now. They got some flashy names. Bibby.
What do we got to do to get Kawhi Leonard as assistant GM or GM of the San Diego State Aztecs?
Can't say, well, he's playing because, well, Steph Curry's playing.
Yeah, I like Steph
Curry. Trae Young is a current player. He's doing it.
I wonder, because there are actual legitimate GMs now at these schools.
Yep.
It's like a full-time
it's a gig.
Job. Is it delegitimizing a bit by having volunteer assistant GMs?
Not
just
if
for
it's
their
Shaquille O'Neal.
Name recognition. Well, I understand the value
Steph
to
Curry
the school.
Or Trae Young.
I mean, like, all right, if you're the GM or the sports...
Director,
yeah. Athletic director was the word I was looking for a college, and you have Shaq on your quote-unquote payroll as your assistant GM, like, that's a pretty good recruiting tool.
Well,
hey,
sure.
Shaq, I need you to hop on FaceTime
but
from wherever you're at.
I mean, he's just a glorified booster.
Y'all need to come in.
I mean, they're not actually paying him, as you said, Paul. It's a voluntary position.
You really don't like it here.
So he's just a notable booster of the program whose son attends the school.
Come play with my kid.
I mean, Kawhi's not that much more.
It's true. Dynamic.
Dynamic personality.
What about San Diego State getting Marshall Faulk to be the football GM?
They have a football GM.
Yeah, you met him.
Met him. Yeah,
from Notre Dame.
From Notre Dame, my guy. That's right. All right, that's it. That's actually it for sports today. Mm-hmm. We've kind of hit everything else
Good.
With no Padres game yesterday. I did see this story from the last week or so. Now, you guys know, we talk about it every October. you were told as a kid and you're told now as a parent, be careful when your kids go out trick-or-treating because people like to put their drugs in your kids' candy.
I love giving drugs away. And you're everybody like, does.
Nobody does that. Nobody gives out
bindles of cocaine
drugs
on
free
Halloween.
On Halloween.
Here.
Apparently they
ball,
do it.
Eight ball.
Apparently they do it for Easter, though.
Do they?
Because police in Texas, Lufkin, Texas. Do you
know
where
Lufkin,
that is?
Lufkin, yes.
Lufkin, the Lufkin Police Department, they are looking for somebody who was hiding the plastic Easter eggs that you can put candy or whatever in. He was stuffing them with, well, let me just...
loose cannabis?
Oh!
He was putting some marijuana in the plastic eggs and hiding them all over the city. There was then a Facebook group that he was putting out clues that people could then go and find
adults.
These. Yes.
It's an adult Easter egg hunt.
So I'm seeing this now more on like TikTok.
A Weedster egg.
When are you on TikTok?
Well, I wasn't, but there was a story, it was on my Instagram feed, that a guy like had one of those fake avocados that has a zipper, and he put like a $100 bill in there,
yeah.
And then went to a grocery store and put it in with all the other avocados and took a quick like picture and said, hey, you come find this avocado a little different than the others, you can grab the $100.
Now everyone goes and fingers all of the avocados at every store. I get it. That's true. You do.
You always squeeze the avocado before you get it. But
our chat, very smart. They remember that Easter was on 420 this year.
That's right. Ah. It was.
It says here in the story I'm reading, the suspect posted 4 photos on Facebook, each showing a location as hints to locate the eggs. He also posted a photo of 5 plastic eggs in the seat of a vehicle. He was driving around town, dropping them off, and leaving clues. And then a man and his granddaughter actually found one of the eggs at a park and turned it into the police department. So that's how they were tipped off. Yeah. Narc.
Easy, Karen. You'll be fine. It's just some loose cannabis in an egg.
But this ganja, a.k.a. cannabis.
It's a scavenger hunt.
It's an adult scavenger hunt.
Right. Weedster eggs is what they're calling it. A Weedster egg hunt.
The guy took the egg and took it to the police department.
Everybody must get stoned.
In the evidence locker.
The guy at the desk is like... thanks. Appreciate you doing your part for the community, buddy.
Oh, yeah. We'll get right on this.
Yeah. All right. Hey, guys, can you book this into the back room, please? Book this into evidence. Thank you. You know, we really appreciate
evidence
it.
Evidence tag 73298.
God.
Plastic Easter egg filled with
loose cannabis.
Loose cannabis.
Yeah. It's great.
Oh, and then finally, a little television news here for you. I bring this one up because, well, it's one of our favorite shows.
Indeed.
Not a lot of shows out there, really, where all three of us are like all in, going to watch every single episode and be dialed into it. But The Bear season 4 has announced a release date, and I like this. It's coming up pretty soon.
I was
June
surprised.
15th. Usually you'll see, oh,
four
they
years
announce,
between.
Yeah, they announce, hey, we're filming season 4. It'll be ready next fall or something. No, June 15th, season 4 of The Bear officially returns. The Bear's won 21 primetime Emmys so far through seasons 1 through 3.
Yeah, I love seasons 1 and 2. I haven't even been able to get through season 3.
Why?
I don't know. I just
fantastic.
Haven't.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Was it? I thought.
Yes.
I had trouble
don't
getting going.
Don't fall into the, the third season is when everybody usually starts ripping shows.
Yeah.
Because they, whatever. But I thought it was absolutely
all right, I'll get back to it.
Brilliant.
It's fantastic.
Is this why they're doing it so quickly to the fourth season?
Maybe.
To erase the memory of the third
maybe.
Season for people
it's
who didn't like it?
It's like I think every good show has been through it. It's the third season kind of jitters, or third season people get, you know, you get used to something, and then if they try to go a little bit different,
well,
you're like, no,
well,
I want what I want.
Characters have been developed by the time
you
get to season 3 and 4.
Which is good. I think the good part is you know the characters already, but I think most show runners... like, come into an idea. Okay, I've got this great story idea. And then you play it out maybe over the first and second season. Then you got to come up with another one for these characters. Like,
I mean,
what are
no
they going to do?
No different than
next.
This show. You know what I mean? It's
like,
no different.
Gas Station in the chat says, I'm with Ben. The last season had like 3 filler episodes. I did not need an entire backstory on Tina. I think that was my favorite episode
I
of this season.
I loved that one, man. I loved that one on Tina. I loved it. It grabbed me.
Yeah.
And the first one, barely spoke a word. And I just thought it was so, and I kept waiting. That night, indulged in loose cannabis. for the first time in a long time. It was
Loose
when,
Cannabis?
When season three debuted, and I was feeling pretty good, and which is rare for me. I think I took one little hit off Penn Higgins, and I laid in bed, and it had this beautiful music behind it. Remember the first episode of season three? And it's just like flashbacks. They don't really talk. And I kept going, when is it going to start? When is it starting? When is it starting? And then when it finished, I went, that was awesome. That was awesome. So I loved it. I thought it was great. They can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned.
I feel like there's been two signature episodes of The Bear.
Well, and one of them is
Feast of the Seven Fishes, which is...
There's nothing worse than that episode.
It's such great TV, but so hard to watch.
It's what crystal meth is. Like, watching that episode
But I think some people, that's their favorite or the most impactful episode.
I booked a therapy appointment after that.
Spoons, which is
Spoons was incredible.
The Richie one, that was my favorite episode.
Was that the one where the other guy goes to Holland too at the same time when the
it might be
because I loved
but
that.
Richie's story at the Michelin star restaurant
brilliant.
Spending his week there
like life lessons in that episode.
I like that one.
It was really it's a well done show. I can't wait, man. Cannot wait.
I'm very excited for that
for season four of The Bear. It's a brilliant show. Excellent. June 15th, man, right around the corner.
Yeah.
I like it.
Be there soon.
I love Richie. God, I love him.
Cousin.
So cousin. Dude, so good. Such a great show. Great show.
He's very snarky.
He is.
Which I think you appreciate.
I do, very much. Very, very much. Really well-written show. There's not a lot of great stuff out right now, but trying to find something that has grabbed me. Mobland's kind of lost me. Mobland.
Those episodes where you dive deeper into the second and third tier characters, like that's how you keep the show going.
That's how you get me,
because you spend the first two or three seasons developing the main characters.
I actually don't even care what the main character
Sydney
does anymore. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
The chef. But their story's already done. So now you dive a little bit more into Tina and Cousin and some of the other characters. That's how you keep it going.
Brilliant.
Otherwise, the show would have been over after season two.
That's right. Really, really good.
All right, Padres return after their off day tonight. First pitch is at 6:40 tonight here on 97.3 The Fan. Sam Levitt, after hopefully had a nice day off, gets a 5:40 EcoWater SoCal pregame show from Petco Park. And I'm planning on heading down there this afternoon.
Are you?
Yeah, for Channel 10.
We didn't have an earthquake today, so what are you going to ask the guys about?
Well, I'm hoping, I'm speculating at least, that Luisa Rise will be back, yes. So... Hopefully see if he's got anything to say upon his return in the open clubhouse.
I'm sure he will.
You know, it was a big life experience that he went through. You know.
The earthquake?
The concussion.
So, Luis, it's been a while since I spoke to you.
You know, he didn't talk after that because he was obviously in the concussion protocol. So, just to get his perspective on... You know, what it was like going through that and how scary it was and everything. And
ask him what he does for chapped lips.
Well, smart.
Yeah. Has he ever dipped his lip in milk like he did yesterday? I hope he's back tonight. I hope he's back. Looking forward to seeing him.
But that's
return.
Not guaranteed. So I'm just kind of...
We're all biding our time here. Crossing our fingers. Just anybody back in the lineup to lengthen the lineup.
Things have gotten so dire. I'm like, oh my God, can we get Jason Hayward back
please,
in there
Brandon
tonight?
Brandon Lockridge, I miss you so much. So much. No, he's got to lengthen the lineup a little bit, man. Schulte doesn't have a lot of tools in the toolbox right now trying to make do. It's funny, I was looking at some of the numbers against Logan Webb tonight. You know who's hit him, I think, fairly well? Manny's hit him pretty well. Tatis has not hit him well, but that was old Tatis. This is new Tatis.
Tatis who lays off the
splitter
outside.
Down and all the stuff that Webb slings up there. The sweepers away. But I thought my internet's running slow. I think Yuli has actually hit him pretty well as well. So
interesting.
I wonder if he gets a look based on past experience.
I mean, who gets bumped off the Yuli, off the roster?
375 OPS of over 1,200 with a bomb against the Machado's hit him well. Martín Maldonado has not. Gavin Sheets hitting 625 off of Logan Webb. You know he's going to be in the lineup anyway. Tyler Webb with a robust 375. Xander Bogaerts 222 against him, and Adames has hit Pivetta pretty well. Chapman. And Flores, not so much. Mike Yastrzemski, very limited ABs, but does have a bomb off of him.
If they do activate Arise, does that mean Connor Joe goes back to the minors, or does Yuli get DFA'd. It's probably one of those two.
Yeah,
since you're adding an infielder, they still need Mason McCoy, I would think.
Even though he can't play defense.
Nah, that's true, too. You could probably send him back down as well. Yeah. Just go with Jose Iglesias as your...
Is your infielder backup?
Backup. Well, I mean, he's starting already now. So you really wouldn't have a backup middle infielder.
I think Sheets moves. I just think Sheets moves to DH and Luis Arraez gets back to first base.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
And you do have to make a corresponding move.
I mean, obviously, Arraez goes back to the two hole.
Yeah.
You slide Xander to four.
Xander's been in four. I can't in
he's
good
been four, yeah.
good in good conscience.
You put Sheets there is what I meant. Slide Sheets to four.
Continue
probably
running
Sheets
him
at
out.
Four just to go righty lefty righty. Yeah. If you got Manny, Manny three, Sheets four, Xander five. Xander's actually been worse out of the fifth hole, if you can believe it.
Where's been the best hole for him?
Two, I think. Right. Crazily enough. All right, that's it for us. We will be back with a game to talk about tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Brayden's coming up next for special guest Paulie Rindle and Stephen Woods.
F you, pal.
I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. From all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.